very happy to be here. And I like that this is so high up and there's such a nice view and there's seagulls flying by. I always like reading this quote. It's the quote at the beginning of Parkway from Fats Waller, the jazz musician. After theater is our usual time for relaxation, and following dinner, I roamed restlessly through the beautiful park there. At dawn, the birds awakened, and out of their lovely chirpings, one short strain stood out. I went back to the hotel, and by 10 o'clock that morning, with the aid of some delicious Amontillado sherry, we had finished Honey Hush. That's from Hear Me Talking to You, yeah? Mm-hmm. That book?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I read mostly from the second half of the book. I'm going to start out with one of my more rambunctious poems that I wrote for. It was on assignment. There was a series of readings that was done where you were expected to respond to the person you were matched up with. And I was matched up with the Vancouver poet Maxine Gadd, sort of from the previous generation. She was like one of the downtown Vancouver poets in the 60s, as opposed to the university poets. And is still going strong. And there's lines of her sort of scattered here. Max Power for Maxine Gadd. Under Byzantium from the subway of the Confederacy. Calling for long bows in the bedlam of buttons and bows. Quote from Joel Oppenheimer. The map is not the territory. It isn't even the territory. Bun is such a sad word, is it not? And man is not much better. Samuel Beckett, quoted by Maxine Gadd. Capitalism is caused by wars, communism by floods. All history slides into Whig history. You feel at ease with your amnesia. That is the story of us and how we became us, and how it becomes us to so naturally occupy our exalted place in the scheme of things at the end of things. No way to run anything pretending there is no authority. Even the present disposition of La Cosa Nostra, post-avant-garde poetry, a corpse from which increasing amounts of blood paradoxically seem to flow, disports itself as though its shuffling zombie compromise with the best of all possible worlds, nuked in the 80s. Or that the public life of poetry is somehow best sustained by using higher education, Nibelungen style, to convert the enthusiasm of young people into credentials and debt and gold, by mining their goodwill as one would clear-cut a hillside into a smile, into an assumed permanent natural order, rendering unto Caesar. God loves only Augustus. Byzantium lasted 10,000 years. This contract has given all the communities of contemporary poetry, for all their competing modes and methods, an underlying unanimity born of fear. They make you look now at the shape of your baby rage. They intervene in time. Your feelings are a symptom. The threat of poverty and prison and homelessness and murder. They show you the tools they would torture you with. Thus, the Industrial Academy, not only best arbiter of discourses, but rainbow bridge, time machine, transporter, slippery slope between Bohemia and the middle class. It a reversible prophylactic. It alone laminates. It is the vessel inside which we have agreed that the radium of poetry is best protected from itself. All we ask is a bedbug snuggle in the folds. As the economic circumstances which encourage Bohemia have faded from possibility, so too has the memory of their former vigor, history being written by the owners of horses. they make you forget that it could have gone either way. Not so much a split then between the campus and the coffee house, but the flower of pure heresy, a real floater in the patriarchal bowl. Embarrassing and antithetical, autodidacticism, self-correcting Bibles with red Protestant pencils jutting from their spines, never beloved by the people with guns and horses. The glamour of the Romans marched ahead of their armies. The wise Hungarian boys wanted in. Thus, Sibylline neighbor wrestles with starting the collectible collective chainsaw, Texas massacre style. But for no woman is the shadow of the Imperium ever absent or the rumbling engine silent. So Max, for decades, sans the benefit of the kind of eccentrically overproducing alternative steady-state personality apparatus that keeps Bissett going and sustained Jerry Gilbert for decades, Tim Lander and me, for that matter, hiding behind our beards, our city, wearing out our knees on the welcome mat. And as boys, we get to do that. But we never get to say, me thinking to kill whoever speaks to me. Just like a woman. Not in a woman's voice when there was still a chance heresy might bust out and take over. The winds of Vatican II, Prague summer, Roberts Creek. In BC, you could get away from the state by walking uphill barefoot for 10 minutes. The British Empire hates mountains as much as the Romans did. Build a fort on the lip on which the sun never sets and keep those good snacks and drugs and trade goods coming. We congratulate ourselves for even trying. Our good thoughts in a dollar store resembles the interior of a bandit's shack. Babies as weapons for Mother Canada. Dog on stun. The heavy metal diaper, get set, ready to go. Not even feminists have agency without a society to quit. So from here on, in the gendered rejection of Satan and his works, seems a pretty clear choice. Pride, the first indicated voice, speaker, not keeper. Ignore the thickening local ghosts. But the Beats were as scared of Peggy Lee as everybody else. Uniformity of conduct and sweater madmen, how even as men can we imagine it? Hippie fascism, Waldorf, Willendorf, post-war. For if you've diddled in the truly amusing, the king jumps you. In the voice of Maxine there, I wish. Dicks working out their shit with chicks in a very entitled fucking way. Bail on even as much of this life with father figure fascism as what sugared the rim of the rapidly organizing poetry apparatus, and you do get privileges. One is you get to jump off the whole Whig history train, unshackled by utopic Kiwanis Club pinko bullshit, or future shock payback, or death on the installment plan. But the long line of heroes is not up to you, and will still give you up to the cops in a heartbeat. And no, you can't use the library, and you're one of the greats, yeah, but there's a coffee filter burqa I'd like to wrap around your head. But everything still gets to happen at once. So the 90s of Saddam, the 60s of Mailer, as the knots of, oh, say, fucking Thomas Friedman versus the placebo syndrome. Permissions you out now for prophecy. Places people can take and put you, writes Max in the 90s. Remember the happy ending of history with full release? What could the liars pay? In the absence of assassins, in the neural network of high-tech, shining path star whackers. Mind your wants, because there's someone that wants your mind. George Clinton. Less discreet weave of shiny life folded in twee boxes than inconvenient stops on the Mandelbot SkyTrain. Unsurprisably ghosty, unsurpassably bubbling up, every exchange, agitated Presbyterian volcanic subtext, the void of conception, residue like a swiping hard thumb race against metastasizing facts otherwise lost to language. I'm going to bring things down a little. sorry. This is another one dedicated to a older compatriot. This is the Inland Empire for George Stanley. One. No, I'm not going to read the numbers. The weak solder of solidarity. Zonko's hang the Socreds in his best Queens in Victoria, under the gaze of Victoria, who looks like a young Mary Todd or a bomb-wielding Avignon Pope. Under the gaze of the rank and file who can't wait for Jack Monroe to come in out of the snow and get them off the hook and back to Nanaimo. When the poets start, it's time to leave. A farewell no less permanent for its awkwardness and accompanying banners. The Island Highway is the tinnitus of the landscape. 50 words for wet snow. Words over wetter snow. Breaking a stick off of another stick on my breastbone, then banging the lichen loose. A layer of something is the thing. Slurry under slush, steel-toe cowcatcher. But it's not the north, not the dog of the north. This snowball smells like fish. And down the same railroad cut, which carries the ascending whine and keening rumble of traffic sometimes, bacon, smokes, coffee, acetone, pig shit, cow shit, frying chicken. If less of the burger onion startup combo casserole than years since. Weed, the horse farm goat, always the greenwood smoke at the bottom of the bowl. Yellowed penguin pages, ordinary leaves of Donald Allen, failing transmissions from off-island, subject to frequency modulation and infant theft. The last ethered sunlight of grade 11, a slice of lemon pound cake from which the rind had been removed. Morse code from a coffin. Idea of North, Protestant North, no California lemons, bare-knuckle bonhomie, pubs heated by sweat and breath and pickled egg farts, terry cloth tonsure, cards until daybreak, a winter without hugs or drugs, hockey fights and hockey kisses, the rolling grayscale of a cheap TV into which the test pattern has been burned. Conditional recognition, not so much a poet as one marked off, as that injured aldermanic raven walking bent through the snow and toward the fence with an entitled eye at the point of death. This snowball smells like expired aspirin with diesel upchuck copperhead breath. And then what? I wish Captain Beefheart had played more clarinet. The terrible headaches I would get from parties from being at them too long, through orange streets to the 7-Eleven, a plume of vapor in the cold Adenac back room, digitally added with optical zoom. Unlock restaurant tap running, closed tight, walking through the big stripe across Victoria and Hastings. Oh, it's bad in this kind of thing when the opera lady starts to sing. And it all goes sepia tone, an ocarina hand, a sandstone screen, a quarter inch of pink snow, cast iron stumps where, though they'd taken railings away for the war, Dad said we still paid and paid, getting it back in the form of blades and starfighters into the decade. Lend lease, the price of peace. People had that figured out, ways to make money, to tout, to spiv. Cut your hand on his wing collar, you could. A mustache behind a hood, a brothel creeper, and a secret weeper. A solid 10% his D-mob suit rent. Thus, from the stage of the Commodore, the captain turned and said, "Read Wyndham Lewis, Apes of God, Apes of God," meaning, I guess, that even that over-egged and overdrawn grotesque dreadnought blundering bitterly through the baking heyday pages of Torquemada modernism, I'm glad I missed, are more interesting than you assholes. I'm going to go home and paint. But the Commodore bathroom is everywhere. They only pretend to stamp your face. A pot flung into your hand, half amusingly forever, never a good town for crowds that just up and leave you lonely rather than bringing the audience home. rather than just going home. It's never quite clear what they're up to, the men who live on wires and shelves. A shitstorm of data, a shark that walks on land, the amount of snow won't matter to the phone in your hand. Mahler's first, Jimmy Kahn crossing Roebling's Bridge in a Cadillac to deliver leaves to the Harlem River. Bird shadow in the big holly, lost in the dust and the shade, forced-aired feather melancholy, fluffs the scratch the branch made. The men who live on wires and shelves are mute even to themselves. Tough to do the working class in widescreen. The interiors don't quite add up. Tables bump chairs, lumpy chairs bump bumpy walls, and let's face it, this potato-textured, distressed distress is something you don't want to see in letterbox HD. Not meth-breather tubing with a regional twang, exploratory dentistry soaked in tang, all except maybe the pearl of the litter, the squirrel skinner with secret pluck and historical luck. Tough to look, though, from both sides now. The imprinting's all frayed, her head's dragged up and round about like busted bell bottoms in a cube of splayed and paw-smeared plastic, heavy on the shoulders, eyes a cellular habit, lenses chipped and bouldered, tiny fingers still working QWERTY under the awning, speech replacing gum, choose television, the eyes a metamorphic sum, like watching paint dry or foggy molecules bead and dance in the light from my head, shakes her head on the tracks. Class fenced, but from the upside only, not a compound, but a hedgerow Maginot. A pinball's tilted bumpers keep the lawn from sliding downhill to the hollers more collar-based trenches and redoubts, big dogs with smaller sight lines, curved streams with salmon-bearing couches, thickets with frogs and birds and Valentine skunk cabbages, clotheslined yard beasts wired tight behind a grow-up so obvious, perennial mossy boat, car, plastic sheeting doweling pyramid of Frigoseal pie container lids tied with orange ribbons that everyone uses to mark off the marked off. Tide lines of floods, both frequent and unseasonal, that it must be a choice, like lighting the torches for the return of the DC-3s laden with spam and medicine years before the storm of the century had swept through the valley. And I'll leave a question. I'll read one more. Crystal Geyser. My old stage name. A last letter to Hammertown. The orange chestnut canopy has shredded into a discarded hamper of wet umber, umber orange, lacy amber, blood orange, and bloody amber rags through which tires carve calm channels in time, neat stripes of a general widening as the averages catch up. I snobbishly note on Shasta's behalf the oddly spindly thighs of her underemployed big city sisters, short-leashed by fedora dad and leopard mom, insulting white bags threaded through their collars, a badge of slavery. No sniffing, no field, no flicker. On the sound walk, the light is louder than I remember. Darkest in the undertree gloom, dramatic gravel bony underfoot until cranked across by cable car, 80s rain filtering through a carpenter's 40s porch onto the basement suite stairwell. Twin ghosts of my brother pass each other at different times and don't look up. Wary, preoccupied, in transit. Later, I made a loop of the pebble crunch and engine so that they'd course through her headphones and make a kind of disco that I could then loop again and install in a top branch under the streetlight, a kind of permanent radio. missing, though, the persistent sense of misdirection, the relaxation of muscles associated with certain vocabularies, the slow rounding off of matter under successive waves of daylight and water. The next day, the microphone was a hummingbird extracting sugar from ink, hovering locked sentences breaking up in a riot of orange lichen and red bricks flattened under solar flares. I abandon myself to a blushing of precise boundaries, like where a squirrel would step up to snap the branch back fast enough to ride the torque all the way back, a walnut under each arm, get away with intent to spring rather than English leave. It's why I wear my shirts backwards and my jacket is the color of the sky. I'd abandon everything for a plush spring with a fat calendar, every day ringing a bell, every day floating in a penumbra of sound, echolocalic lenses unfurling, coiled bat wings flap as I velociraptor around rainy streets and thread on a knotted length of fishing line, pinpricks of orange brick mixed with holiday sweat. You abandon yourself to the runnels and channels of a new boundary, ankle-deep sliding, thick transparency mirroring, even when disrupted, the thick marine light located by inference, the waggle of a last leaf and 2 minutes of leaping, edit in a spray of divided attention, your lupine shoulder dropping, hot science on cold water. The truckers eat on the roof, and the roofers eat in their trucks, tossing wax paper out the window until a cleansing thermal draft sweeps the top of a cherry picker. A micro-branded cyclist smoking a drum blunt squishes in half sleep, his thigh pajama dancing, headset tuned to the sound of a fan or a tiny big band, but he never opens his eyes, not once, an infant navigator in a chrome helmet racing the wax paper. At the highest branch of the chestnut, an FM transceiver relays sound from the street to another in an alder on the shores of Beck Lake. The chestnut is only discernible from the attic on very quiet nights during frog season or during storms. But the one on Beck Lake carries traffic sounds at all times over the reeds, only fading at the canopy. And in sleep, the furious forest reconstitutes itself. The ringing silence, thick, fleshly, and drenched, footfall and Shasta's fast footfall, lakeside endorsement, under alder endorsement, ringing antennae of sleep along the lost hillsides, always stumbling and climbing, gravity heavy, feet prescient sleep, sleep coming to each limb, separately heaving the will forward, fall asleep, walk and fall asleep along the long lakesides. Run and drift awake, the stubble of vocabulary swirls around your feet in spouts of antique bliss. The furious forest, now suffused with pink X-ray light, under which the bones of the street are revealed in arched and baroque forms, ringing Byzantine brass through coloratura speakers, interrupt the operation of sleep along the long avenues, always, always climbing. The will forward will fall asleep and run and drift awake along the long lakesides. Doesn't everyone need a stapler to bind with fallen leaves their lists of unassailable demands? A scotch tape splice to return dead voices to the brink of audibility. A stubborn hippie structure, a bottom-heavy grid, a moving sidewalk portrait. On the second sound walk, the street corners bulged with cartoon furniture and clouds of silent winter gnats swirled around the ducts and fans. I'd closed my eyes against the expected, unexpected birds who kicked the water jug downhill, stuck firecrackers in the gravel, held electric toothbrushes against lampposts, the expected unexpected, tricolor of bad country fireworks, strobing raccoon Morse code through the left open gate. Better, though, to lay down on the curb, ears hard pressed against it like Jerry Creed used to catch those long, lonely city tones. Through the headlamp glow, instructions were just ghosts in purple offices anyhow. Klondike, do you hear what he called me? Aren't you going to fight him? Put together, drunk, grinning at her favorite brown thing, who's mock desperately dialing a cab on the unmanned cash machine, her filled-in diastema sinking through cookie to cold whiteness. The other ones are called gaps. An interval, then, diastem, as you step through this rip of surface tension into another world. And just as my father carried a pint for his father home from the pub, covering it with his hands from the rain, I will carry this bucket of cinnamon schnapps back from Kingsgate Mall and not spill a drop. Thank you.